You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're talking about how to liven up your life and stop being a stick in the mud. You know, I think a lot of times when we get older, when we have families, when we have children, when we get married, when we settle down, we seem to become like the stick in the mud. We're no longer this, you know, fancy, free, fun, carry all, do what you want to do, have a good time, laissez-faire, throw caution to the wind. None of it. We lose all that, and we seem to be sitting on the couch more than ever. It seems like we wonder where we're gaining weight. Why are we doing all this stuff, you know? And where did all the fun go? There was a fun time once, I think I recall. Bill, how are you doing?
Bah, humbug. Everybody listening to the show tonight, you ought to be home behaving yourself. What's the matter with you?
Man, he is a stick in the mud. Keenan, what's going on?
I'm here chilling, you know, kind of hungry, but yeah, I'm here.
You're always hungry. Yeah. When are you not hungry? I'm telling you, Ashley, he's part hamster.
Part hamster, part man.
Yeah, you know, as soon as he eats something, then it just metabolizes.
He's like, I'm hungry.
Well, so we better get the show out of the way. I don't think Keenan's going to make it.
He's going to pass out.
He's going to be a casualty.
He's so pale right now.
MIA or
I should get
KIA.
Hazard pay for that.
Yeah, you should get hazard pay for
it. No, not the hazard pay. No.
Huh.
Well, right before we started the show, we discussed this thing called hazard pay, and Bill thought that he should get more pay from the station based on the fact of all the responsibilities.
No, you should get more hazard pay for dealing with me.
Oh, I like that. Okay, well, I'm not going to argue about hazard pay then. I like that. So let's go into the whole concept of livening up. And everybody loves that saying, not being a stick in the mud, right?
Stick in the mud.
I mean, think about it. Like, I think a lot of us get used to the status quo. And what I mean by the status quo, it's like we got used to it. We're complacent with life, you know? And I think this begins when what? We get older. We're in a relationship. Maybe we're married. Maybe we have some children. You know, maybe we're just older. And we look at all our older friends and we see what they're doing, but more about what they're not doing. And we follow suit.
Yeah, I think you start to do things because that's sort of what is expected of you. Your family, the people you hang out with, society at large. You come to a certain station in your life, married, kids. You're expected to have a house with a white picket fence and a car in each garage. And, so you're expected to work, you know, from, you know, 9 to 5 or whatever, and come home and do the family thing and watch TV and go to bed and get up and do it all again.
Yeah, you got
to
do it all over again.
You know, the next day. Yep. Yep. And, you know, it becomes like
routine.
You're mm-hmm. you're stuck in it.
Structure, routine. Yeah. They always call it restructure. I think it's funny when people call it structure because it's supposed to sound so therapeutic.
Well, human beings do love structure. If we didn't like structure, then we wouldn't do things like, you know, have categories, subcategories, sub-subcategories.
Hierarchies, yeah.
Exactly, hierarchies. We wouldn't have things like government, tribe, and stuff like that.
Right.
You know, and like for a person to be like totally spontaneous, it's rare. And like Ashley said, you know, as you do get older, I think more or less your priorities just kind of change in a way. You know, like some people got to wake up every day at 5:30 in the morning just so they can go to work, you know. And if they don't go to work, then they don't earn money. They don't earn money, then they can't eat, you know. So, yeah, you start getting complacent and you start being satisfied with the status quo, and it does affect your personality from when you were younger. Because back when you were younger, I mean, like, what you had to do? You know, you had to go to school. Elementary school is easy. Junior high is easy. High school is actually very easy to
sure.
do.
Oh, it absolutely yeah. is.
But again, all those schools had structure.
Yeah.
You remember, like, a lot of people, I know a lot of people listening tonight, I'm sure that y'all did well. You went through school. You probably, you know, knowing the stations that we broadcast on, you probably are in master's school. You got your doctor, what have you. But some people actually failed out the first time they went to college because they didn't have structure. You know, like remember like when your mom would wake you up from some of us listening, your mom would wake you up in the morning to go to middle school or high school. You got to get up. You got to get in the shower. And they'd come back around and check on you to make sure you actually didn't go back to bed.
Mm-hmm.
That was right. The thing that's missing when people went to college, really, because they didn't have mom over there like, hey, get up.
Get
instead,
up
it's like and, noon and you missed you three know, classes.
Exactly. Fix your lunch for you, do your laundry for
so
you.
So you had to develop your
stuff.
Own structure.
Yeah.
And most people
and most people don't know how to do it. Yeah. So
without the corporation, without the company, you know, pushing it on you, other than that, you know, or the children.
Well, yeah. And I think Kenan hit the right point. I think it's instinctual for human beings to crave structure. Okay. And you know that I think maybe you've heard married people, you know, married friends of ours, Ashley, you know, saying, you know, we got to have some structure for our children. You know, that type of thing. But I do think that you can go overboard with it.
I think it can get out of hand. I think it can really take your zest for life. I think you can structure yourself out of living.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, of course you can. You know, like I said on a previous show, you know, there are people that I know that they just plan everything. They got to, you know, they have to overplan, you know, stuff. You know, like, for example, you know, on this certain day, we're going to go to, say, an amusement park. And then while we're at the amusement park, we're going to get on this ride. Then after that, we're going to get on that ride. Then after that, we're going to go play this game and that game. And it's like it's all structured.
These people
out.
Know my dad.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh,
they know
yeah.
My dad would wake us up at 5:30 every morning on a trip. Do you understand what 5:30 in the morning on a vacation is like? And you would have it all structured from the time that it takes you to take a shower to the time you should be down at the breakfast buffet to the time we're leaving on this tour that we're going to take that my dad has completely outlined. He would take like 3,000 pictures, organize them all in alphabetical order, and then put them into books, you know, and then you look at those after the trip.
Well, now, wait a minute. You know, before we go too far into that subject, you know, Kenan, you were saying that you said this on a previous show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for our listeners, if I wanted to listen to that previous show, how would I do it?
I would go to Spreaker.
Spreaker?
I mean, yeah, Spreaker. I mean, like, you can listen to it on your, you know, laptop, desktop, or you can download the app on your, you know, iPhone, Android phone. And then after that, you can just stream it over Wi-Fi or whatever, your
Spreaker.
Ethernet, or, you know, or your or over your 4G network.
Actually,
Spreaker!
You're on Spreaker now. How about that?
Yeah. Spreaker!
Now, you're still on iTunes.
Speaker with an R. Oh, yes. Yeah, we're still on iTunes.
And
so,
of course,
everybody that's in iTunes.
You can go to your website. So,
AshleyBurgess.com.
You know, if we want to listen to what Kenan was said on a previous show. But, yes, so, you know, as far as, you know, regimenting. I mean, there's a difference between structure and regimenting, like almost military-style regimenting. And, you know, in fairness, some people actually thrive and crave regimenting.
Well,
yeah, some people do.
I know people who do.
That is kind of a psychological thing, though. That could take us, like, hours and hours to discuss and for me to actually show why that is the way it is. But let's really focus on the livening up, because I do think that people can outstructure their life from fun. And I think that a lot of times, you know why it happens, is because we're beaten down into the conformity into our life, the life that we are supposed to have. Like, there's a life you're supposed to have, you know what I mean? Like, defined by your age. Don't you like when people go, but aren't you, I mean, how old are you already? You know, and you're like, ugh. So I can't get on a go-kart or ride it at, you know, I can't go on a ride at a park because I'm that old. I mean, it's like you're supposed to fit this demographic and then the life that you're supposed to have. And anything outside of that makes you look like crazy.
You know, you just saying that, I think of the example of John Lennon. And, you know, because he one time gave an interview. And, you know, of course, he, you know, divorced his first wife. Basically left his first wife and his oldest son for, you know, Yoko Ono. And, of course, Yoko Ono's blamed for breaking up the Beatles, you know, even though the Beatles were breaking up long before then. They were in the process of it. But
you got to have someone to blame.
Yeah, you got to, you know, have a scapegoat for it. But, you know, and Lennon was saying, you know, I mean, what can I say? You know, the generation I grew up in, you know, once you got out of school, and of course, most, you know, working class people in Britain back in those days didn't even finish high school. You found a factory job or a trade, and then you got married and settled down and started having kids by the time you were 18, 19, or 20. By the time you're 20 years old, you're expected to be married with children and working, you know, at least at something. And he did it, you know, not really because he wanted to, just because it was expected of him.
Yeah, because people were telling him that this is what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things to where, you know, you have so many people all in your ear telling you what you're supposed to do, even though what they think you're supposed to do may not even be right for you. It may not. But yet you listen to them anyway because you're thinking to yourself as you were growing up, well, this is what I'm supposed to do, so this is what I'm going to do. And then you do it. And then you find out, oh, my God, I'm miserable. Why did you talk me into doing this?
Right.
You know, and so what's going to happen? I'm like, you go from, I mean, people are going to go from one extreme to the opposite extreme. You know, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
I agree with that. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about conforming to the life that you're supposed to have. Are you conforming to the life that you are dictated to have? And have you lost yourself in that journey? So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
We're going to draw some perspective. We're going to draw a road and some phone poles and a building going into the distance with some mountains and shadows and all that kind of stuff. We're going to do it really fast. You can't do perspective without a horizon that you're looking into the distance at.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've just begun the discussion on how to liven up your life and stop being a stick in the mud. You know, right before break, we started talking about how you feel beaten down by life, beaten down into the conformity, into the life that you are supposed to have. You know, are you conforming to the life that you're supposed to have? That's the question. I mean, you know, a lot of us feel like there's a certain age demographic. Okay, well, I'm XYZ age, and I'm this sex, so I either need to be married. If I'm not married, there's something wrong with me. If I am married, I need to have children. If I do have children, then I'm supposed to have this car. If I have this car, I'm supposed to do this. I need to take the kids to soccer practice. I have to do that. And in no spare time, in any of that reasoning, should I go out and have fun with friends. I should sit here on the couch, and I should be upset about it for the rest of my life. Because I haven't had any time for myself. And what happened to me? It's like you enter these relationships. And I know that most people that enter relationships had a personality. They liked things that they did. They did things that they liked. But all of a sudden, it goes down the drain and it's all for other people. And I feel like a lot of people find themselves stuck in that situation. They don't know how to get out.
Well, yeah. And
without leaving the relationship, with just refining themselves.
And I think it's just like a light bulb that's starting to dim. It just ever so slowly gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And all of a sudden it just goes out that way. And I've known
it
people.
It dies. That's what they die.
Yeah. I mean, and this is kind of personal for me, actually. But my dad fits this description absolutely. He started working when he was 12 years old, basically. You know, his father was an alcoholic, and so he basically worked and went to school just to get out of the house. And first chance he got, you know, he joined the service and left home. Got married. Actually, before he joined the service, he went to college. And 6 months into his freshman year, he got married. Why? Because it was just expected of him. So he got in the service, and, you know, 20 years later or 23 years later, he retires from the service. And goes into another profession, and he works for another 15 years on that, and it was just such drudgery. I mean, he actually hated it.
So you saw him kind of like shrivel up to something that
yeah,
he wasn't.
So I
his,
remember
like,
when
non-personality, nothing, I mean, just him.
I can remember when I was a little kid. We would go to the lake, we'd go fishing, we'd take a trip to the mountains, go to Yosemite, and when he retired, he bought this farm out in the middle of nowhere. His nearest neighbor is literally like 20 miles away, and to even get him to leave the property is pulling teeth. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He doesn't want to do anything. He's like, okay, well, when are you going to come see me? I'll go see him, and all we do is sit in his living room.
He doesn't want to do anything.
Doesn't want to go
anywhere.
He's
been beaten down by life. He's been so homogenized. He's been homogenized.
He has been.
Down to what this is like a shell of a person.
And he's in great health, too. I mean, he's only 61 years old, doesn't have any major medical problems. This should be actually the prime of his life. And,
that's awful.
It's not. It's kind of sad.
And I think there's a lot of people like that. I'm glad that you share that, because I think that there's a lot of people like that, and I think a lot of people listening tonight go and visit their family, and they have the same type of thing. Family doesn't want to leave. They don't want to go out of town. They don't want to do anything, and they're so into this humdrum situation that they're not making any changes. I mean, just going to the movies would be nice, right? Just leaving the house and going to a restaurant.
It would be. I mean, at the same time, though, I'm one of those people. I don't visit my family. I don't, because it's like, if I go there, I know what they're going to say. I know the exact sentences and phrases and paragraphs that they're going to use, and I know what they're going to talk about, and I know what we're going to watch on TV. And, you know, after about 15 minutes, I'm ready to go.
What do they watch on TV?
Basketball. Mm-hmm. I only see them like maybe once a year.
Yeah, not much in common, eh?
No. I mean, you know, and then they want to know about, you know, my life and how am I doing and stuff like that. And I'm one of those people. I'm like, look, if you're so concerned about how I'm doing, then you would reach out to me and ask me how I'm doing.
More than once a year.
Yeah, exactly. More than once a year and everything like that, because, you know, it's like, this is what I discovered. When I'm high on the hog, I hear from people a lot more. You know, but yeah. When I'm not high on the hog, I hear from people a lot less, you know, and it's never the same amount. But anyways, like I was saying.
But anyways, segue back into the stick in the mud.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, and like I said, it's like, you know, I know what they're going to say and everything like that. And then, you know, and if I'm like, yeah, you know, I have, a, you know, have this, you know, problem or whatever, I know they're going to say, well, we'll pray about it. The moment, you know, I'm like, okay, sure, whatevs. But I don't know. It's like they're just, it's just so mundane to me. It is. It's so mundane. And the thing is, though, I'm actually one of those people. I prefer organized chaos.
Yeah.
Oh, I know you do.
I prefer, I'm like, if you look at my desk at work, there's papers here, there's papers there, well, there's a pen over it. But I know where everything is.
You've heard the old saying, a clean desk is a sign of a sick mind.
Yeah.
Yes.
But only people like me think that that's a good idea, because my desk is awful.
Mine is too.
Not awful. I can find things, okay? I can find things. But I always get tormented about it. People tell me, oh. I mean, none of my patients, none of my clients do, okay? But it's like family. They always have a comment about it, you know? And it's just like, to me, I think if you're too organized, that's a problem too. So yeah, have you lost yourself in the journey to grow up? And I think that's a very interesting question. Right? How far away from you do you find yourself? Think about this. How far away in the journey, how have you missed yourself as you're growing up? And I've gone through processes of this several times in my life where I felt like I had to be something, I had to do something, I had to be a certain way. And I would sit back and check myself and say, wait a second. Okay, hold up. Just because everybody else is doing this doesn't make it right. Just because it seems like the right demographic doesn't make it right. I should be able to do what I want to do. And, you know, like the other day, I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm a very healthy eater, but the other day I went to lunch with my family and I ordered a kale salad, right? Which is no dressing on it. And I got a side of biscuits and gravy, okay? So the thing is like I'm living large. I'm doing my thing. But at the same time, most people sit there and say, you can't do breakfast and lunch. You can't do healthy and unhealthy. You can't do this. And I think most people fall into that thing where they've lost themselves. Like, they don't even know what to order at a restaurant anymore. They have to look at their family. They have to look at their friends and go, what do you think I want to eat? Oh, I don't know if I could have a drink.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, I think I'm going to have iced tea. Oh, I don't know. You know, they can't even make their mind up on simple things like that because they don't want to be out of the status quo. They don't want to rock the boat. If nobody else is drinking, they can't have a drink. And I know people listening tonight have been through that process where everybody else is having iced tea. It's 8:30 p.m. and all you want is a glass of wine, but you don't get it because everybody else is having iced tea. So true.
Right. It is. And it's like, you know, people will look at you like, oh my gosh, how can you be drinking?
And it's 8:30 at night. It's 8:30 in the p.m. Okay, yeah. You're having a glass of wine. It's no big deal. But you can't even be yourself long enough to have a glass of wine, much less find yourself in the situation in life that you've basically buried your personal self in.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, like your dad's concept. What happened to your dad and what his life right now, what he's living, is a testament to what we're talking about tonight.
It absolutely is, and it's sad. And see, my stepmother, his wife. I mean. She's basically become the same way. For a while there, she kind of fought it, you know, mm-hmm. and, you know, didn't want to be stuck out in the middle of nowhere, you know, like Dad did. But in the past few years ago, she's just become resigned to her fate, you know, and,
really?
You know, it's sad.
And how happy is she?
No, she's not.
She's just doing it because she loves him, but yet she's losing herself. And so I think a lot of people listening tonight understand that you get married and you love somebody, but at the same time, when you see the years ticking by, and you feel like you've lost yourself, and you wonder when will be the time that you can actually reclaim you know, the little child in you, the person in you. And it's sad because you feel like you're being suffocated, but you feel like it's a lose-lose situation. You don't want to leave the marriage. You don't want to leave the relationship because you are in love. You have children. You're happy, whatever. But at the same time, you want to go follow a path of yours. You'd like to figure out what you need to do.
Right. And you know, Ashley, we'll get into this more as the show goes on. Again, I want to reiterate, I don't think we're talking about just being completely irresponsible.
Oh, okay? Not at all. We're talking about being responsible, actually. Being responsible to yourself for doing what you love to do. Being yourself, I think, is really what we're talking about. Not trying to placate to everybody, even including your spouse.
We're not encouraging people to go suddenly have a midlife crisis, you know, and hook up with somebody 20 years younger.
But this is why people have their midlife crisis.
Yeah, it is.
Okay,
it
what really I'm talking
is.
About
yeah,
is
it really
what?
Is. And the thing is, being yourself actually has consequences. It really does.
Now, sometimes it can be good. Sometimes it can be bad.
Well, yeah.
Depends on the situation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, being yourself has consequences in a way, because the thing is, if you are like 100% yourself all the time, 24/7, a lot of people won't like you.
Well, you have to make sacrifices sometimes.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
You have to make sacrifices sometimes, but I do agree. But sometimes, if you're not being yourself and you try to be yourself and other people don't accept it, maybe you're around the wrong people. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about how far away from you do you find yourself, and also not necessarily doing exactly what your spouse wants you to do. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing how to liven up your life, how to light it up, and how to stop being a stick in the mud. You know, right before the break, we were talking about how far away from you do you find yourself right now? And I think a lot of times when we've grown up and we're at a certain age, and I think everybody listening tonight understands what I'm talking about. You're at a certain age. You are a leader, not a follower. And you have children, or you're married, and you have all this stuff going on. And it seems like it's hard to kind of be ourselves. It seems like we have become this role model. We are the role model of mom, or we are the role model of dad. And you have to think about that. Or we're the caregiver or the breadwinner. Right? We're an adult. I mean, we have all these things going on, and we define ourselves by these definitions. And all these definitions, what does that add up to? What can you do? What are you allowed to do defining yourself with that? And I think sometimes we miss the boat. Like, it's okay to go to Wet n Wild and get on the slides and have some fun. It's okay to get on an amusement ride and get, you know, and get scared and scream and yell because you're going in loops, you know, at 50 miles an hour at, you know, at various amusement parks. But I think a lot of times we don't do it at Six Flags. I mean, a lot of times we don't do it based on the fact that we're an adult, we're a leader, we're the breadwinner, we're a father, we're a mother, we're married, we're old.
And it's just not done to act that way. Grow up.
You know, you got to grow up. You're not a kid anymore.
And which is true, okay? I mean, you know, as we get further along in life, you know, get married and job and, you know, house and whatever. Yes, take care of your responsibilities.
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that, you can't let loose once in a while.
And being a kid at heart. It's not about, we're not talking about going crazy, lighting a house on fire and doing whatever you want to do. We're talking about actually being a kid at heart.
Mean, if you light your house on fire, then where are you going to live?
Well, and yeah, exactly. You know, under the bridge, I guess. But see, here's real quick.
Under the bridge.
You know.
It's the same thing as like when people used to break their own stuff. Like they'll break their phone and then they don't have a phone to use.
Right. Yeah.
You'd be like, you just broke your own stuff, man.
I mean, if I broke my own phone, I wouldn't care. I'm like, who cares? I don't receive phone calls on it anyways.
Right.
You're like, I don't want to get these calls anyway.
Oops, sorry. Didn't get your call. But I just talked about my dad. Now I'll talk about my mom. And see, my mom is just...
personal stories here on Perspectives.
My mom is just the opposite of that. To her, I mean, it's if she's not out clubbing, honky-tonking, you know, partying, drinking every night, then she's miserable. You know,
so she's like a free spirit kind of out there.
Well, she's a free spirit. She's weird. She's a insecure free spirit.
Oh, I already read between the lines on that one, but yeah.
If that makes any sense whatsoever. But right now, I mean, she's a stick in the mud. She's miserable because she's in a situation right now where she's not working full time. She's got a lot of health problems where she's in pain like every single day. And, you know, she just recently had a long-term relationship end suddenly.
Right, right.
And not of her volition. And so she doesn't have the money to go out. She cut off contact with all her friends years ago.
Because of the man.
Because of the man.
Mm-hmm. Which means falling into the status quo that we're talking about tonight.
Right. Oh, yeah. And so she can't go out. And so therefore, to in her mind...
She's in prison.
She doesn't have anybody to talk to.
She might as well be dead. That's what
know?
She feels.
And, yeah. and she's become a stick in the mud, but from the opposite side, if that makes any sense.
Because she basically created it, though. And I think we all create it, whether it's... You're right. I mean, and she's going through these health problems, and that's not necessarily her creation. But I'm talking about... She excommunicated herself because of a man. And I think that is a really great thing that you touched on, because I think a lot of people listening tonight had a good wealth of friendship and bonds made. And I think that sometimes when people go into relationships, what's the first thing they let go? Friendships.
Well, the thing is, when you're younger, you have a lot of friends. And the thing is that we do use the term friend loosely around here. We really do.
We really do.
Yeah,
yes.
We use the term friend loosely. Now, as you get older, I mean, like, your amount of friends, actually, they kind of dwindle and decline and everything like that. You know, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, people do get lost in relationships or whatnot because, I mean, quite frankly, it's kind of it's part of nature in a way. I mean, like, well, like, what do people want? People want their food. People want their shelter. People want their water. People want their companionship. And the thing is, if you take away one of those things, something happens to a person psychologically, you know, because I had a discussion with a friend of mine, you know. And, you know, and she mentioned, you know, personal safety and everything like that. And I told her, I'm like, look, you are willing to risk people everywhere. They're willing to risk personal safety, you know, just to acquire food.
Sure.
I mean, you know, think about it. How many people a day, you know, go a long time, you know, without companionship, but yet they are willing to risk catching an STD? Whenever that opportunity arrives, they're willing to risk it. You know, for example, overseas, people are fighting over food.
That's people are fighting over here too.
I mean, that's the thing. So, like, you know, for your mother to, like, you know, be in this long relationship, you know, long term relationship, and then it ends on someone else's terms, not hers,
right?
Cause and effect.
It's debilitating.
Exactly, it is.
But at the same time, she's kind of like compartmentalized herself, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And I think that, you know, let's talk about that. So not doing what you like because your spouse doesn't like it. So there's a reason why a lot of times some of us totally are different people around our spouses. And I think everybody listening tonight and our listeners here on Perspectives understands what I'm saying. And some of y'all do the same thing. And I know some people are chuckling in the car right now as they're listening on the way to dinner. However, you know that you are different from your normal self when your spouse is there. You know that when you are alone and you are in a group of people, you are the life of the party. And then when the spouse is there, you're kind of quiet, a little reserved. People don't know how to take you. They don't know. Something wrong with Mark. I think something's wrong. Maybe he's sick. Oh, no, his wife's here. And I think that's a big deal. I think that the thing is that we forget the fact that our spouse met us and liked us for who we were. Not, and I'm talking about... In healthy relationships. Let me deem this clearly.
Healthy
relationships and healthy quality relationships, people actually get in relationships because they like you for who you are. They don't want to try to control you. They're not trying to change you. So what happens is, though, you try to conform to what you think the spouse wants, and all of a sudden you're changed. You're different. You're no longer the cool Mark that goes out and is the life of the party. Now you're quiet Mark in the corner, and your wife's like, oh, crap, you haven't introduced me to anybody. I'm standing over here. I'm bored. It's time to go. And you start falling into that conformity. And just the other day, I was going to the gym, and a neighbor friend of mine was there. Nice guy, great attitude. One of those people you just love, you know, just good heart. And he kind of just blew me off. I mean, you know, he's in his 70s. He just blew me off. You know, I was like, what? And when I said goodbye, he's like, nothing. And then all of a sudden, I realized, oh, his wife's there.
Aha.
And they've been together for probably 50 years, 50 years.
If his wife is anything like my girlfriend, if he even gets caught looking your direction, then all of a sudden, you know.
I couldn't be in a relationship like that.
Well, I mean, you got to put on different hats. That's what it is. Well,
but I'm not going to fake it. I mean, my deal is like, let's not fake it.
But see, here's the thing, Ashley. I think Keenan hit on the right topic, you know, in talking about this. People have a need for companionship. And so therefore your fear, and remember, fear is the greatest emotion, most powerful emotion, right?
No, love is the most powerful emotion, not fear.
I don't know. I think fear is.
No, love is.
You can control people with fear. Look what the news did with Ebola.
That's right.
But love is the most powerful emotion. Fear is a component of the negative side. Love is the only most powerful emotion because it actually can co-create and create things to actually happen.
Okay, now I'm afraid of you. You've made me afraid of you.
Fear to Bill.
That's right.
Invoke fear.
Now I'm putting up my fear shield for you. So you know,
I'm getting at the Bible now.
It's people are so afraid, I think, of losing that companionship that they're willing to
trade themselves in
compromise.
Yes,
now,
they are.
In any healthy relationship, there has to be some compromise. Okay, two separate people become one unit.
We talked about this earlier before the show. I agree with compromise, but I agree that there should be. But I don't think that you have to compromise your whole self to be in a relationship. And if you feel like you do, then you're selling yourself.
However,
short.
You don't want to lose that companionship. I mean, let's think about it. Let's really think about this. Okay, check it out. Okay, so you're a menace to society. Some random person. They're a menace to society.
I don't want to be a menace to society.
But the thing is, though, you know, they get caught, they go to prison. And what happens when a person acts up in prison? They get put in solitary confinement. They get put by themselves. You're not. And the thing is, though, people in solitary go crazy. So the thing is,
literally, yeah, they literally go crazy
because the thing is, that is not who we are. We are social creatures. So the thing is, a person would rather live around thieves, murderers, and rapists than to be by themselves. So a person is willing to kind of conform and compromise themselves just to have a companion.
And we're coming up on a break, Ashley, but maybe on the other side of the break, you know, we can go into more about how to balance it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, yes, you have to, you know, compromise some things in order to, you know, for the unit to flourish. But you got to be careful about compromising so much that you lose yourself in that relationship.
Exactly. Nicely said. And I totally agree with that. So let's talk about that when we return. We're going to talk more also about how to stop being a representative and start being yourself. So stay tuned because Perspective with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
I don't want to grow up on a toys racket. They got a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with. I don't want to grow up on a toys racket. They got the best for so much less. You really flip your lid. From bikes to trains to video games. It's the biggest toy store there is.
Gee whiz!
Hey, welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's show, we've been discussing how to liven up your life and stop being a stick in the mud. You know, right before the break, we were talking about dealing with spouses. Are you different around your spouse? You know, and I think a lot of people are. Or have you stopped being you and kind of decided to give into this representative of you? And I think sometimes we become this representative. We become this representative. It's almost like you're duly appointed by the UN and you become this person that's supposed to be the perfect Bill or the perfect Keenan or the perfect Ashley. And it's like you become this, oh, I'm the perfect wife. I'm the perfect homemaker. Everything's great. And there's like you start losing yourself a lot. And I remember, I mean, I used to go out a lot, but I wasn't crazy. I mean, I had fun. And I had responsibilities, but it's like sometimes I catch myself being a total stick in the mud. Like you'll be invited to something totally harmless, totally cool, a fun party that you could go to. And I'm like, eh, you know, it's like 4 miles away and it starts at 9 p.m.
That's pretty late.
So late. And I'd have to leave and the studio and I just don't know what to do. You know, and you get into the stick in the mud concept when years ago you would have chomped at the bit for that. And you would have gone, you would have had fun, you would have met people, you would have had a good time, you would have congregated, you would have, you know, philosophized with other people. But instead, there you are like, no, I should be at home cooking dinner and, you know, making my way to bed soon.
Right. Well, and also, too, I mean, I think it depends upon, you know, because if you do anything often enough, it gets repetitive, right? And, you know, if you do the same thing over and over and over and over again, then it gets old after a while.
Even partying gets repetitive.
Even partying gets, if your definition is going out to clubs and drinking yourself silly.
Yeah, but
well, that gets really old really quick. Like, yeah, back when you're in your 20s, old. That's old. I mean, you're you know, same stories, but he goes from Paris, Texas, now it's Paris, France. And it was four girls that were okay, but now there's 20 girls that are all, on a scale of 1 to 10, they were 20s. And they were all models from Europe. You know what I mean? The stories continue to grow. Yeah, yeah, and it's the same people telling the same stories, but they just seem to be bigger, better.
Yeah, yeah. The fish keeps going bigger. Yeah,
BBD, bigger, better deal.
But if you know, like you were saying, Ashley, you know, instead of going out into a club and drinking yourself silly, you know, somebody invites you to a gathering where, you know, there's people you've never met, and it's a situation that you've never been in before, or maybe rarely before. Then heck, take the bull by the horns. You know, what's the worst that could happen?
Well, I think a lot of times, too, I agree with you, but I think a lot of times, too, people think it's easier to play it safe, right, to play a part. Think about it. And they're fearful of showing their true selves. And I think Keenan began talking about that in the first or second segment, about how sometimes it's scary for people to be themselves. But I think you have to sit back and look at your roots. I mean, you have to go back to reality, to the beginning, and say, honestly, who am I? Who am I proud to be? You know, if today was my last day, would I be proud of the way I'm living my life, or am I in secrecy? Am I shrouding myself in secrecy based on what I think the society wants me to be, and I don't want to rock the boat?
Yeah, you know, and actually, I found myself in kind of that situation about 6 or 7 years ago. I started dating a pediatrician, all right? And obviously, this is back when I was in the insurance business, but she made way more money than I did. And she and I talked about that, you know, when we first started. It's like,
was it a problem for you?
It wasn't a problem for me.
Was it a problem for her?
It became a problem for her, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to happen.
And no offense to any of the doctors out there, but I think in medical schools, they teach you how to have the superiority complex. But which is not all doctors, but the circle.
I won't take offense.
Yeah, the circle that I hung around with at that point, I think it's fairly common. But anyway, so therefore, you know, so since she hung around, you know, I'm sorry, let me back up. We were talking about this before the show. You know, I'm very much a blue collar guy. Okay. I come from a lower middle class background. I have a blue collar outlook on life. And therefore, when I get around people, especially social situations where, you know, it's more upper class and their outlook is more, you know, upper, you know, type of thing, I get real uncomfortable. And so when I first started dating her and hanging around her crowd and her circle, I have to admit, at first I was really uncomfortable. And my first instinct was to run. But I thought about it and I said, you know, when am I going to get another opportunity, you know, to meet people like this? But I'll tell you what, I'll just go for it and see what happens. And sure enough, I got to know some of these people, and they're really great people.
Well, it was the insecurity within yourself. I mean, because a lot of times when you're not exposed to something and you have to deal with something you're not exposed to, it can be overwhelming. But when you allow yourself to kind of put yourself out there, like I remember I had a situation like that years ago because my dad and I didn't talk for years, right? There were years that we didn't speak, and we're now good friends. But I remember going to a Christmas party one time with a guy that I was dating, and I just remember his family were so happy and seeing the mom and dad like hugging. And like they even went outside and smoked a cigarette together and they were hanging out. And I actually got so freaked out, I ran out the front door because I didn't have that kind of lifestyle. You know what I mean? And I understand what you're saying. And I remember I stood there for a while and I thought, why am I outside? And then I realized it was within me that it was stressing me out. But yet it wasn't. It was just because I wanted to have that kind of in a way. You know what I mean?
I can understand that.
Yeah.
But I mean, but there's also a different side to what you're saying, too, because there's some people could have just fronts. They could have fronts up. And I'm not a big fan of hanging out with people that have fronts. No, I mean, you got to show yourself. And that's a totally different situation. I mean, if you have means and you're intelligent, everything's great, great. But I mean, if you're just fronting that whole situation, that's a different story. I mean, I'm going to feel uncomfortable around you because you feel uncomfortable with you because you're not being yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, I haven't dated in 7 or 8 years. Just haven't done it because the thing is, it seemed like when I was, you know, I would find myself in a situation where I'm, you know, hanging out with her friends, doing what she wants to do, blah, 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 whoop-de-woo. And I could not be myself. You dig? Mm-hmm. You know, for example, I remember, a while back, I told y'all, this is the type of music that I listen to. I listen to underground hip hop. So like, if you were to mention something like John Lennon, I cannot name a single John Lennon song.
The Beatles, for God's sake.
I can't name a single song. You got to understand, I grew up in an African-American community. And the majority of the artists that I listen to nowadays are African-American.
That's just stereotypical African-American.
Yeah, they are.
I'm just kidding.
I mean, you know, so, I mean, but the thing is, though, you know, she's, you know, Caucasian or whatever. Like,
can you name a Jimi Hendrix song?
Yeah, Purple Haze.
Another one.
Along the Watchtower.
That's another one. Another one.
I guess, I mean, like, what I listened to had, like, scratching and, you know, bass and, you know, they spoke in rhyme and everything.
Probably the earliest it goes back is the Sugar Hill Gang.
Sugar Hill Gang, yep, exactly.
I didn't mean to take us there. Go ahead. I just had to ask. I mean, come on.
But yeah, like I was saying, it's like I find, and the thing is, it's like, man, I can't even be myself. I can't be myself. And so the thing is, like, you know, we broke up and everything like that. And so I'm like, okay, let's try this dating thing again. You know, and then, like, you know, find a woman, whatever, talking to her, and like, okay, let's go out. We go out. Sure enough, you know, we're with her friends. And these friends, I would describe them as basic. Just basic. They accept everything that is given to them in pop culture, you know, talking about reality shows or whatever the hell.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're so basic. And I was like, oh, man,
That's a nice word for it, basic. So,
yeah, well, that's a term, you know. I can't be myself around anybody, you know. So nowadays I do. I find myself in a rut to where it's like, you know, I go to work, I have my 9-to-5, and I go to my favorite watering hole. And at my favorite watering hole, I can be myself completely. Everyone knows about, you know, how Keenan was in the war and how, you know, my grandparents died and everything like that. And like how, you know, I struggled a lot with like food and shelter and companionship to where I had nothing.
So it's like Cheers. Then.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody knows your name. It is like Cheers.
The thing is, glad you came. Like I tried going somewhere else, you know, a couple of times and like I'm listening to people talk and I'm like, wow.
You're going to regurgitate.
Yeah, I do. I'm like, wow. I mean, like, I cannot believe that you're in your 30s and this entire time you have never suffered. Everything is just, you know, honky-dory and all that stuff. And
but
like,
I think sometimes in those situations, I understand what you're saying. I know where you're going, but I think in those situations when people haven't maybe dealt with that, it's also almost a disservice to them as well. So you have to think about it. Like, everybody's kind of in their own sheltered hell sometimes. And I think that's an issue. And I think sometimes we see people as having less issues than us and have less pain and sorrow. But I think that they're in their pain too. I do. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I mean, yeah. And I think that's what Keenan is getting at is that if you're not comfortable with yourself, then how can you be comfortable around anybody else?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like you got to love yourself first. And if you're not being true to yourself, you're not loving yourself, you're putting on airs. So stay tuned because when we return, we're going to be talking more about not doing what you want because guess what, baby? You're too old. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. This time we'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax. Breathe. Smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Too old for this.
Opie, I think I'm getting too old for this stuff.
I'm getting too old for this.
I'm getting too old for this.
I'm 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 too old for this.
Will you follow me again?
I'm getting too old for this.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing how to liven up your life and stop being a stick in the mud. You know, right before break, we began our discussion on not doing what you want because guess what? You are just too old. You know, a lot of times we feel like we're too old. You remember Danny Glover? You remember his conversations? You remember all that?
I do, yes.
I'm just too old for this stuff. You know what he used to say? Are you just too old? Have you lost the urge to go crazy? Or guess what? Have you been told too many times that you're just old and you shouldn't be doing that?
And, you know, and I think another side of that is that you're old before your time. And I was talking about my dad in the first hour, and that's his that fits him to a T. He's old before his time. And I've known people, I mean, age is a lot of times is just a number. Okay.
Age ain't nothing but a number.
That's right. You know, I mean, you know, you're as old or as young as you choose to be. And I've known some people who you would think of as relatively young anyway, who they might as well be in a nursing home.
Yeah, they act like they're like 100 and something years old. Yeah. Like they're barely holding on. Like they got a cane and they're frail.
Yeah, yeah, I know somebody like that. I think we're around the same age when they're 30s and stuff like that. And
isn't there
30s, and the thing is like, I don't ever want to go out. I have to take care of my dogs, blah, 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 every time I ask if she wants to hang out or anything like that, you know. But, yeah, I think we might be hanging out fairly soon doing a photo walk.
Well,
yeah,
really?
I'm like, you know, I'm going to actually invite someone to go on one of my photo walks with me.
I've checked out a lot of your photo walks online, and if anybody wants to see them, it's Keenan Cobb online. You can see his photos. They're very good.
Yeah, Instagram.
They're very nice. I like them.
Yeah, well, yeah. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to, like, you know, being too old and stuff like that, I think it's just something that we just keep hearing over and over and over again, and then we just start believing it, you know? I mean, of course, at the same time, we hear the saying, you know, you're only as young as you feel, or you're only as old as you feel.
Age is just a number.
You know, yeah, age is just a number. And the thing is, not everyone ages the same, you know?
True.
Not everyone. I mean, because I know right well, I do not age the same as everyone else.
You age 1 year to every 7.
Huh?
I'm just kidding. It's dog years. You know how you age like dogs are like 7-1?
Oh, yeah.
You're the opposite. So you're 1 to every 7 human years.
Well, yeah. I already know that. Yes, I age very
You're
going to
look younger.
Slow,
you're know? Not going to look older. Yeah.
You know, I mean, and on top of that, I think for like almost the majority of my 20s, I barely got any sunlight because I worked at night when I was in the Air Force. I did a lot of night ops.
So what happens, guys, is that, you know, he didn't have to put a bunch of SPF 75 on. He was able to stay indoors. You know, I don't know if you got enough vitamin D. However,
no, I probably didn't get enough vitamin D. But they, the majority of my time, you know, in the Air Force was actually outdoors. It was at night. I was on the other side of the planet where the sun was not.
Thank God he didn't get moon burns.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they talk about.
Yeah.
I got burned by the moon. I
had to put on your star screen.
Well,
you know?
Remember if we were on Mars?
The funny part about it, I think I've been wearing sunscreen ever since the age of 21, actually.
I've worn sunscreen
I've been wearing sunscreen
forever.
Ever since the age of 21, and people are like, why do you wear sunscreen? I'm like, okay, you and I, we're the same age. Which one looks younger?
Yeah! you know, that's funny you brought that up.
That is my rebuttal. And the thing is, though, when people... I mean, the funny part about it is like when you look young, you actually feel young. And the thing is, you start being more physically active, which is actually good for the body.
Well, and actually, I think this ties into, you know, how we started off the show then. You know, it's like, okay, if you look younger, then you feel younger. Okay. And now, of course, people can go over the top with that, you know, type of thing. But, you know, generally speaking, you know, if you, you know, get up out of bed, okay, and... you know, get dressed, you know, for an active lifestyle, mm-hmm. then, you know, you're going to act that way.
And you know what? You can make yourself younger. I think that a lot of people listening tonight understand the fact that if we actually believe we're old and we see ourselves as being old, guess what? We're old. But guess what? If you see yourself as young and you visualize yourself as young and you go out there and you put yourself forward and you allow yourself to be yourself, guess what? You're younger. You just automatically are. And I don't know what it is about life, but I think, you know, our brains do contribute to our lifestyle. It's like when you think you have a disease, right? People go to the doctor and they go, oh my God, I have it. You can think yourself into being sick. You can think yourself into being well.
Oh, like that sheriff over in Dallas that thought himself into Ebola.
That's hilarious. Yes. And of course, you know, that hits home for Ashley because she's like, you know, a germaphobe. So
I am not a germaphobe.
You are too a germaphobe.
Okay, I have been literally crucified for this, and I am not going to get crucified anymore for this.
How many times have you washed your hands tonight?
Well, every time after I go to the restroom, I do.
Well, and every time you get up from the table, and every time, you know, you do.
Every time I leave the studio room, I'm going to the restroom. I drink like 3 gallons of water, so I'm going to go. But you don't want me like coming back to the studio without washing my hands, because I have been to the restroom.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's common courtesy. I mean, you know, I'm not a man, which is more common courtesy to wash your hands after you go to the restroom.
Which I do,
however,
too,
you know what I'm saying. But yeah, I do wash my hands a lot. And yes, you're right. I mean, I'm always wiping them on my pants because my hands aren't dry enough. There's never enough, you know, paper towels in the bathroom.
You're also always doing the hand sanitizer.
No, I don't use hand sanitizer.
I've seen you do it.
No, I don't.
I've seen you.
No, I've used it one time. And that was when I was sick with the flu that time and you were in the studio.
You used to say
no, I did it because you know why I stopped doing it. Can I tell you why I stopped doing it? Because my dermatologist said, if you continue to do this, your hands will look like a 95-year-old woman. And at the time, my hands were so blood, like they were all cut and they were open wounds, you know, because I'd used it so much that he goes, if you don't stop using this, your hands are going to look so old. I only used it that one time when I had the flu or the whatever I thought. It might have been that food poisoning, but I didn't want to get you sick. So I washed my hands and I used that, but I never
used
that.
You're still a germaphobe.
I'm not a germaphobe. Let's talk about this real quick, though. There was a guy named Axel Good and his friend. They're two male strippers.
I don't know who that is, so.
Two male strippers that live in Dallas that were on the Cleveland to Dallas flight. Two male strippers. This guy Axel Good is on the cover of these romance novels, by the way. I was on Twitter the other day and I had a conversation with him. Anyway, they actually quarantined themselves separately because they were on the flight. Apparently the CDC said they were within 3 feet of the individual, the nurse that was sick. And they are actually quarantining themselves. They are two male strippers. I mean, think about it. The CDC can't figure it out, but we got two male strippers that seem to do what's right for society.
Well, no, the thing is the two male strippers, they have no idea what they're doing, and they're just paranoid as all hell.
They're panicking.
No,
If you're three feet away from her, and she has full on, we're going off subject.
We're going way off subject, but
they're just paranoid. Yeah. That's all it is.
They were panicking.
Well, okay, let's talk about paranoia real quick. I'm going to do one more thing, and then we'll go back to our subject matter.
Okay.
The point is this. As a human being, and if you care anything about other human life, you would actually take care of that. Instead, most people don't give a crap. And instead, don't care. I don't have anything wrong with myself. I'm fine. And they go around and shake everybody's hands, and they go on with life. But you know what? That's wrong. I mean, you have to step up to the plate, check yourself, and say, you know what? Hey, I was on that flight. I probably should watch myself a little bit. I want to care about human life. I care about the society I live in. Instead, most people don't care anything outside of themselves. That's where the problem lies. These people have shown some compassion. I respect them.
I think that's an excellent point, Ashley. Thank you.
Bill, I will get you a bunch of hand sanitizer, and I am not going to use any of it. And you know I don't use any of it because I don't want to have old hands. I'm not having old hands.
I will put it to you like this. I would not want to be deployed with those two. I would not, because the thing is, I would not want to be deployed with any germaphobe whatsoever. You know why? Because the thing is, if you're deployed into a foreign country and you're using all that hand sanitizer crap and everything like that,
you get sick.
You're going to get sick, exactly, meaning that they are out of the fight. I have no time to carry a man just because he got sick.
That's why I'm against, like, you know, so a lot of schools right now are buying the hand sanitizer, a lot of the elementary
schools. Hand sanitizer is not going to do anything.
The problem is that it actually makes it harder, and that's why I stopped using it. And the only reason I ever use it is after I wash my hands and I am actually ill. I'm under but other than that, I don't use it because...
Well, you got to understand, though. Bacteria.
It kills bacteria that can actually help you fight stuff.
Here's the thing. Bacteria and viruses, they are living organisms. They are living things. Let's think about it. Human beings, we do not have predators at all. So our predators are bacteria and viruses. So the thing is, though, all that stuff is actually evolving.
And they become harder to kill, just like roaches.
Because it's evolving. And the thing is, though, if we keep using all that stuff, then guess what? Our immune systems do not evolve.
Well, also a little public service announcement, by the way. Antibiotics, don't take it for everything. take it when you got to. Don't take it all the time. Yeah. I mean, because antibiotics really are supposed to be used for certain things. The problem is that we're putting it so much in our body that it's not going to kill everything at all, period, and we're going to have to use stronger antibiotics.
And now, Ashley, that we have taken up the entire first segment of the second hour on a subject completely unrelated to what the show is supposed to be about, why don't you segue to our next segment before we go to break?
Well, God bless you, Bill. You know what? Let's try to do that. Keenan, you know, I think that we need to go into on the next coming segment. You know, the moment where people seem to hold you back. I think we've all been there, that moment when they feel like you're doing something wrong because you're too old. They're holding you back. How do you feel? Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in we'll be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And we've been talking about livening up your life and not being a stick in the mud. You know, right before break, we discussed about, you know what, you're just too old. You know, I think a lot of us get that stereotype where people say that we're just too old to like those things. We're too old to have fun. We're not allowed to have fun. We're old.
And then we went off on a tangent, but now we're back.
And you know what? I think that our tangent was valuable. However, let's talk about how we're supposed to act. Have you ever had a moment where people actually hold you back and tell you what you're doing is wrong?
Yes.
Yes.
And later you end up telling yourself you're old and you're washed up.
Yes.
Because you go with their assumption. Yeah. And it sucks. It's awful, because guess what? It makes you feel bad. It makes you feel rotten. And it also questions the childlike person in you. And I think all of us have this child that's still in us that, you know, allows us to kind of just be happy.
Yeah, you know, and Ashley, you know, I've told about some personal situations on the show tonight. I told you about my dad, told you about my mom. Now I'll pick on me. You know, and I was at that position 6 years ago, in my former occupation as an insurance agent. It's a profession that I didn't really want to go into in the first place. Just sort of, you know, happened. Even all these years later, I'm not exactly sure how it happened, but it happened. And it provided me a living, and to me that's all it was. You know, it wasn't something I felt you know, positive about or was passionate about. It was just a paycheck, and it got to the point where the job wasn't worth it, and something had to give. And you know, and people from that time will tell me, you know, I mean, I was not all that pleasant to be around at that point,
because you weren't being you.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, weren't being you. I mean, look, just like I said earlier tonight, you know, dating a girl, and I'm thinking, I mean, I'm losing myself in this situation.
Yeah.
Trying to, you know, please her, satisfy her, and be this guy that she has constructed.
But why do you have to lose yourself? Why can't you be you? Because she liked you for you. That's the reason why she came on to you in the first place.
I don't know if she liked me for me in the first place. I don't think so.
Why would you even spend time with somebody that doesn't like you for you?
Companionship.
But you can find companionship with somebody that likes you for you. Self-limiting thoughts.
You can, Keenan, if you look for one. First of all, if you look in the right place. Okay.
What is the right place? What is the right place? Because, you know, I hear people say this a lot, right? You're looking for love in all the wrong places. But no one ever tells you what the right place is. No one ever tells you that.
Well, I'll tell you what the right place is. You want to know what the right place is? I know it right now. What you like, the hobbies you like, the places you like to be, you go there. If you like to go canoeing, if there's a canoeing society, you go to the meetings. You'll find a woman that likes to canoe. You like to go sailing, you go to the sailing meetings. Even if you're on White Rock Lake, wherever you're at, you go there. You meet a woman, you like them. If you love to go cooking, you go to cooking classes. You'll meet somebody, but you got to go to the places where you like things that they're doing.
So, in your case, Keenan, you need to find a science club, a nerd club. You know, where people like Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, yeah.
You need to find a professor.
Oh, you know what? No, check this out. Check this out. The other night, I was at my watering hole. 220 right?
Water.
No, not the other night, but maybe a week. It doesn't matter when this time period
all
was.
All the days you
I mean, everything was a blur to me because, you know, I wake up, I go to work, I go home, blah, 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 whoop-dee-woo. Anyway.
He's in a rut, by the way.
He is.
Status quo.
Hey, I gotta eat. Straight up, I gotta eat.
Go ahead.
And, but no, I'm sitting down, right? I'm sitting down outside, and I'm at this table by myself. Okay, so this young lady, she walks up and she says, "Hey, mind if I sit here?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's a free country. Go ahead and cop a squad." So she cops a squad, right?
That's a comment,
you know. And so, I mean, she does that, and so I'm like, "Okay, yeah, this woman is just sitting next to me, right?" And then next thing you know, she starts to open her mouth, okay? And I'm like, wow, she's actually talking about smart stuff.
She's not basic then.
Yeah, she wasn't basic. She looked very basic, but she wasn't basic. Turns out she was a neuroscientist.
That's the people that you should be hanging out with.
And then her friend And then her friend comes along.
What do we
right?
have for Keenan tonight, Bill?
You know, her friend comes along and, like, she's like, "Oh, yeah, this is my friend. We're both neuroscientists and everything like that." I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." And so we start talking about all the science.
Did Ashley hit this right directly on the actual head of the situation?
She most certainly did, usual.
So there you go. So, you know, think about it. If you're playing with the right people, you're doing what you want to do, you can be yourself. I mean, you could be the science guy, Keenan the science guy.
Around the science guy.
Scientists and people that are doctors and people that know stuff and people that aren't being basic. Question. Well, we'll have to, you know, in a few weeks after this first date, we'll have to talk to Keenan again on that stuff. But let's go back to this whole concept of
the listeners out there, y'all didn't see the look on Keenan's face just now.
Too bad, because that was poetic.
Which, by the way, okay, so real quickly, we are blogging on Facebook and Twitter live
and updating our status.
So let's do this. Anyone who has suggestions for Keenan on where he can go to meet someone
professor types
that will like him for him and will date him for him and that doesn't make him change. Let's hear some suggestions on Facebook and Twitter.
At Ashley Burgess or at Ashley Burgess or on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on Facebook and Facebook Ashley Burgess. Yes, let's talk about that. You know, and I think that this is very crucial because I think this actually kind of goes back to why we stay in the status quo is sometimes we're not looking in the right places as well as sometimes we settle. And settling is an interesting concept known to man. And everything time that people settle, guess what? They normally get very upset.
I've done that.
I think even the early settlers got upset. I think that there's things that you have to look at that people just settle, and they just settle for things they don't need to settle for, and they shouldn't settle.
Well, you know, Ashley, in paintings or whatever of the pioneer days, you'll notice that, okay, the farmstead, and then there's a broken wagon wheel out front. You ever notice?
No.
There's always a broken
wagon. There's always a broken wagon wheel.
And there's always tumbleweed.
And
sand and dirt.
And so that's why they lived where they lived. They got their covered wagon and they went until the wheels fell off. And that's where they settled.
And the wheels really did come off because they have nothing going on. Life is awful. They take care of the kids, you know. I mean, the thing is, like, you know what? And I think a lot of people live that way, and they have a car, like your dad. They have all the modern conveniences, but they don't leave because guess what? They're done. They've settled. They're on. And the settlers did settle. I mean, let's move on to the concept of you're an adult, right? And you shouldn't like these kind of things. You know, being an adult, we're not supposed to like these things. We're supposed to grow up. We're supposed to get old. We're supposed to allow these labels. We're supposed to allow these things to describe us, to define us. You know, we think being an adult means we need to change what we like because it's supposed to be based on what? Adults. On what adults like. You know, but I think that sadly enough, we have fun and we become childlike the better we feel and the longer we live. So think about this. When you become childlike, when you allow yourself to be yourself, you know what? You're not depriving yourself from happiness. And I know that a lot of people listening tonight know, no matter what religious base you are, that children seem to be closer to the source. Animals seem to be closer to the source. And in one of my last books, I wrote about the way of the dog. And it was employing like proven techniques to live a life worth living. And as a kid, you can have fun. You can make light of yourself. You can poke fun. And just like the way of the dog goes to the same park every day. But he loves that park like it was the first time he ever went. And he gets in the car and he puts his head out the window
and sticks his tongue out.
And his tongue's out, and you got the drool, and you got the this and the that, and you got the paw prints, and you got the tongue prints on the back window, and unless you let him sit in the passenger seat.
No.
So most people put him in the back seat. So you got this whole thing going on, and they get to the park, and it's just like it was the first time they've ever gone. And sadly enough, we've all gotten into this thing where life is this humdrum situation, where we do it always over and over again. It's the same time every day. It's the same feeling every day. It's the broken record. We have nothing to love. We have nothing to look up to. And eventually we die. Sadly enough, though, you can actually transmute that and create happiness by actually seeing things new for the first time and experiencing them from a different perspective.
That is just very profound. And, you know, I will say that, Keenan does have a point, okay? I like to eat. Ergo, I go to work, okay? Because,
I eat, too.
But dogs don't have to go to work to eat.
Right. You know?
Who's a dog?
I'm just saying, you're talking about how, like, you know, be more childlike and be more animal-like.
Yeah,
But the thing is, though, they don't have to work to eat.
But you know what? Work should not be that big of a deal. We have to look at the process of this is a life. We have this one life to live. We go through it. We can either make it the worst life we have to live. We can lambast ourselves and beat ourselves down and see our work as the worst thing we have. Or we can actually see the sides that we like about our work and actually try to rev ourselves from there. And I see what you're seeing. I see exactly what you're saying, you know, Keenan. But at the same point in time, when we take a certain level of it, we get to that next. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about... Are you a leader and not a follower? Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing how to liven up your life and stop being a stick in the mud. You know, right before break, we began our discussion on, are you a leader and not a follower? I think a lot of times, we're no longer a go-with-the-flower. It seems like we're a leader, and we're supposed to make the best choices, the most optimal choices, the choices that only a leader, an adult, would make. And so an adult would not actually opt to have fun. An adult would not opt to actually play a game of cards or go out or run around or have fun or even go to an arcade and play some games. I think a lot of times we literally pigeonhole ourselves in a certain way where we are not allowed to do anything fun because, you know what, we're an adult, we're a family member, we're a parent, and we are supposed to help people, but we're not supposed to have any fun.
Because it's what's expected of you. I mean, like I was saying in the previous segment, I mean, yeah, you know, Keenan's got a point. I like to eat. Everybody likes to eat. Therefore, I go to work, okay? So I get up in the morning, I go to work, I come home, I do it again the next day. I'm just saying that if that's all there is to your life, that's when it becomes bad. That's when you're stuck in a rut. That's when you're old before your time. It's, you know, okay, you know, during the week you may, you know, get up, go to work and come home, but then, you know, Friday night, Saturday night.
I understand. Well, I mean, you know, we work on the weekends. Okay. So right. I understand responsibilities and I get it. However, it's not all about going out at night. It's about like when you go outside and you walk to your car to go to work and you see the roses in somebody else's house or in your house, you smell them. When you get in the car, it's not always from point A to point B. God bless me. Let me get there on time. I am going to screw over everybody that gets in my way. And on top of that, I will have my music as loud as possible because I don't want to be mindful at all. No, it's reversing that. Rewind, play. You smell the roses. You get in the car, you're mindful from going from point A to point B, and you're happy about doing it.
What if you live in the ghetto?
You're leaving the ghetto, going to work.
I'm leaving the ghetto. I live in the ghetto, and I ride the bus.
But you're getting out of the ghettos. You should be happy.
Here's the thing, though. You know, there are good people living in the ghetto.
Well, yeah.
We should play that Elvis song, in the ghetto.
Who's Elvis?
Elvis is. Don't even play with that.
Elvis Presley, come on.
Don't even play.
Oh, you mean that guy that everyone told me that I should listen to and I should love him.
But not your family, because they didn't listen to white man's music.
No, we didn't. Well, we didn't do it. I'm like, sorry. I'm like, we're African American and we're proud about it. That's all it is.
So let's talk about this. So, okay, you know, you have to be mindful. And I think that's a big thing. But the next thing is that you've forgotten what you love to do. And I think a lot of times we forget what we love to do. And I think we forget out of convenience. The convenience of so-and-so, my spouse, my girlfriend, my boyfriend, they don't like to do it, so I'm going to stop loving to do that, even though I might like to see monster truck rallies. Or I might like to go to the symphony or the ballet.
Yeah, the ballet.
Or I like to watch movies.
Theater. Or I like to see suspense.
Theater.
But you can't because you don't think you can because your spouse doesn't want you to do it, and so you stop doing it, when in actuality, you could get your ticket and you could go.
Or just the opposite, and I'll use my mom as an example again. You may hate, say, sports, any kind of sports, hate it. Then you get involved with somebody who's a big basketball fan, and all of a sudden you're the biggest basketball fan in the world.
Yeah, because it goes on you. You feel
and
it.
And LeBron James is your hero, okay?
Especially if LeBron James became your best friend.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so
I won't miss one of your games, LeBron.
But I'll even say
with the parking pass and the courtside seats.
Yeah, and get all mad when he was traded and all that good stuff.
You already know how I feel about all that.
I even got into that situation myself when I got engaged. This is about 6 or 7 years
what
ago.
What did you end up falling for?
Well, I mean, I fell for the idea of being in love, of being married with a family.
A lot of people do.
That's what I, you know, and I had, at that point
it
in my life.
It didn't matter who.
At that point in my life, I had honestly thought that it just wasn't going to happen for me. You know, because I was in my mid-30s, and of course society expects you to be married with kids already in your 20s.
Well, I know most men, the average age now is 40.
Well, yeah, but,
because they tell you that there's somebody for everybody, and that's not necessarily true.
Not necessarily true, yeah.
I think there's several people.
Here's the thing, here's where I come from. It's kind of a, rural, place, and it's still kind of a traditional expectations. You know, you get out of high school, and you get a job, and you get married, and you settle down and have a family. And why? Because we need to have children to raise and up in the community. And that's
Amarillo
just
by morning.
From San Antonio. And I love my hometown. I go back every chance
I
get.
No, I get it. I get it. I'm just saying that.
It's a great place to raise a family, by the way.
But I'm saying that a lot of times our social norms and our societal norms get in the way of our reality. They get in the way of us being us.
So,
and they get in the way
therefore,
of
I
us
gave up
doing
all,
what we love.
You know, I gave up my circle of friends and a lot of my hobbies that I was into to do the things that she liked to do, to the point where she lost all respect for me because basically I wasn't the same person that she.
You were a minion.
Yeah.
You become a minion.
That's exactly what I became.
You became a minion. You became a follower of her because you wanted to please her. And the point is that she actually met you and liked you because you were not her follower.
I started listening to pop. I hate pop.
Me too.
Like Wham, Make It Big?
I don't know. I'm like to think. I can't name a single
more,
artist.
More modern, Britney.
Yeah, or whoever, because I dated a person who was very basic. Listen to pop, drinks pumpkin spice lattes and stuff like that.
You just had a pumpkin spice Hershey Kiss,
and I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
No, I didn't like it.
Yeah. It was brought to the studio by a friend of mine. It was a whole bag. I couldn't say no,
and he didn't like it.
But
they were way too sweet for me.
But he tried it.
I tried it. I didn't like it. I was like, this.
Which, by the way, actually, sidebar, you really just dated yourself. Wham?
Yeah, who's Wham?
Wow.
Which I know who Wham is, but that's...
When I was in elementary school, I did the freaking talent show, and I sang a Wham song, and I was in fourth grade, and I rocked it on stage, okay? I rocked it, and I had a girl with me that played George Michael's backup, Andy somebody. And we rocked it. We won talent show in fourth grade.
We're just saying that a pop has advanced since Wham.
Okay, but Britney Spears, has it really advanced? Anyway, let's talk about this. I mean, I really don't know if it's really advanced or has it just the names have changed. However, you have all these people that's fine. But I'm not going to listen to pop because somebody wants me to. I'm not going to listen to, death rap because somebody wants me to. And I've had people around me that's all they listen to. And I go, you know what? I've progressed over that. I used to be very angry. I'm not anymore, so I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to check out some symphony music. You know what? And it doesn't matter what I listen to because it's my music.
Oh, you mean like Johann Bach?
Sebastian Bach.
Johann Sebastian Bach. And,
well, y'all know what I'm talking about.
You said you didn't know Elvis,
so that's all I have to say about that.
Well, and look, in my case,
this is Elvis.
Hey, baby.
Yeah, you're supposed to like Elvis.
I don't like this.
Elvis does not sound like Public Enemy to me.
Thank you. I don't like it. You've been a great audience.
This is not Little Richard.
Since my baby left
me. From my perspective, I mean, my girlfriend, she's all into country music.
Oh, my goodness.
And
I like country music, but not a lot. I mean, I can listen to it, and I'm cool with it.
Okay, the only country music song that I like is Dirt Road Anthem by Jason Aldean, and that is it. And the thing is, he did a remix with Ludacris on that song, but that's the only country music song that I can listen to. Other than that, forget about it.
I'm not a big country fan either.
Wait.
I like a lot of music, though. I mean, I'm not a big country
fan either. Hopefully your girlfriend's not listening to right now.
She is, but she already knows this.
But I like country music sometimes.
I really don't. I mean, I'm not a big fan of it. I'm a fan of...
Toby Keith?
No, I'm a fan of heavy metal.
Dwight Yoakam?
Great. I'm into bands like Lamb of God.
Love Dwight Yoakam. I made a fool of myself when I met Dwight Yoakam, though. Family Guy premiere at the Supper Club in L.A. I was with Jake Busey, Gary Busey, and I met Dwight Yoakam, and he introduced me to Dwight. And he's like, Dwight walks up to Jake, and he goes, "Hey, Jake, how's your dad doing?" He's like, he's doing good. And they talk for a little while, and then he goes, "By the way, this is my best friend, Ashley Burgess." And everybody that's listening tonight knows that all the returns and all the intros are all Jake Busey, Gary Busey's son. And he goes, "Dwight Yoakam, this is my best friend Ashley." And I've met a zillion film stars. And I looked at him and I go, "I just love your music." What an idiot move, right? And he's like, "Well, thank you. You can't take somebody from a pedestal position to that and still have a conversation with them." It was done, okay? But he was like, "Thank you, little lady." And he took off his cowboy hat, and he kind of did a curtsy,
and all the hair fell out.
Yeah. Anyway, long story short, it was an embarrassing move on Burgess's part. However, I did meet him, but I would have liked to have done it a lot more suave. So when we return, we're going to be talking about being lazy, being yourself, and understanding that you can be a child and still be grown up. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. You know what? We'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Since my baby left me. Well, I found a new place to dwell. It sounds raga. You don't want to go raga. No, it sounds barbershop.
This is terribly depressing.
It really puts perspective on things, doesn't it?
Not too much. It's too much perspective now.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing how to liven up your life and how to stop being a stick in the mud. You know, stop being a stick in the proverbial mud. I think a lot of us conform to the status quo. We've been beaten down into conforming into our life. We've done what our spouse wants us to, what we think our kids want us to be. We become a role model. We're a parent. We're a citizen. We're a married couple. We do what we need to do, and we're representatives. So I think a lot of times, too, that, you know, we're just old. We've been told that we're old, and so we conform to the old. We're an adult, and we conform to the adult. You know, we're a leader, not a follower, so we're not allowed to have fun. But you know what? We've forgotten what we love to do. We've gotten away from being ourselves, from being our true selves. Instead, we become lazy. We become lazy in the part that we actually sit on the couch, or we take the kids to the soccer practice and we do what we have to do. And it's not until we go into our daydreams or until we sleep when we think maybe we were missing out on something. You know, there was a time when I was a person, when I was a whole person, and I want to be more like myself. And I think a lot of people that are married tonight that are listening to the show understand what I'm talking about. Even when you go into a public situation where you go with your spouse, you've changed. You're not the same person. You don't act the same. You don't have the same mannerisms. People start to wonder if you might be ill, under the weather, or just being a jerk. You know, it's like we have to check ourselves. And I think it's one point in time you have to allow yourself to say, hey, this person met me, they love me, I need to be myself. But on top of that, nobody can judge you. I mean, only the person that can judge you is you. You place judgment, you've had the order sent, you made yourself guilty, you're stuck in your situation. And I think a lot of times we need to clarify ourselves and say, who am I? I was this person, and I'm not saying to be reckless, and we're not talking about going crazy, going to the bar, going crazy, but we are talking about having fun, being more childlike. And I think that we are grown-ups, but we don't have to lose the inner child. We can be that child, we can have fun. Because that's what it's all about. Because once we lose that child, we've lost the reason for the reason we're here. And I think that's what's so integral in what we're talking about tonight. Because you know what? You're not above it. You're in it. You're not better than it. You are it. So let's jump in and figure out how we can be ourselves. Avoid that midlife crisis, which a lot of people are hitting right now. Because guess what? They're avoiding being themselves because they were somebody. And then they got married. And then they had kids. And then they can't be that person anymore. So they hide that person. And when they go out with their spouse, they go out with whatever, they can't be that person. And so they have this midlife crisis. Because guess what? They allow that energy to go out in a different way. When in actuality, I think most people want you to be you. They like you, and it's weird when you're not being you.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head at the beginning of the segment. In order for other people to like you, your spouse, your significant other, your friends, whatever, they liked you for a reason. So if you get away from being that person, then can you be surprised if they don't like you anymore?
Yeah.
No, you can't. I mean, you can't be surprised. At the same time, let's look at a situation like, when person A met person B.
Right.
Because the thing is, though, I'm like, we are these 360 degree creatures.
Sure.
We really are. And so the thing is, though, if they met you and you were like in this happy go lucky mood because you just got a raise, right? Your personality is like totally elevated,
yeah,
and you're just happy-go-lucky, what have you. Now the thing is, I mean, I look at it like this: you truly don't know a person until you see all sides of them.
Exactly, or another way to put that is, see, a lot of people, couples
mm-hmm.
will move in with each other,
mm-hmm.
okay, and then a month or two later we'll break up because once you actually move in and spend a lot of time around
yeah.
that person, they find out who you really are.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden,
you truly
this doesn't
don't
work
know a
anymore.
Person until you live with them. You truly do not know a person until you live with them.
And I agree with that. And I think there's three things that we really need to talk about in this last segment that are pertinent to what we're talking about. Is first, you have to be honest with yourself. Honesty.
And that works in any situation, but yeah.
Are you honest with the situation you're in? Are you happy? Does this allow you to grow? Does this allow you to be, or does this actually hold you back? Does this suffocate you? At what point in time were you yourself and you're not that way anymore? Can you get it back? How do you get it back? And I think being honest with yourself to the point where you say, okay, this is the situation. This is what I have to have out of life. And like what Bill was talking about earlier about his dad. I mean, think about it. I mean, the woman married to him, she probably feels like she's losing a lot of her life because she's there because she loves him, but she's not living out a life that she wants to live, I don't think. I mean, you go over there, y'all don't even go out to dinner because he doesn't want to leave. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that understand what I'm talking about. You have to be honest with yourself. What can you handle? What can you not handle? And at what time? Because I think a lot of people hit that midlife crisis when they sit there and look back and say, oh my God, I'm 54 years old. And I've never done anything that I want to do. And I know people that have been in their divorce and they've been married for 25 years of marriage. And they got married right out of college. And they get divorced and they have kids. And they look and they go, my God, I'm 50 years old. What am I going to do? I wanted to do all this stuff and life has just passed me by. And I think there's a time when you have to sit there and say, what is important to me? What do I need out of this life? And what can I handle, letting go? And what can I handle sacrificing?
You know, that movie with Jack Nicholson and Bucket List. Kenan, who am I thinking of?
It's Jack Nicholson and Morgan Freeman.
There you go, Morgan Freeman. Thank
That's
you.
That's what it is.
And you know, I
get the female voice of Morgan Freeman.
There you go. And I think that it's kind of what that movie's about. It's all of a sudden those two guys realize that they lived to a certain level and hadn't done all the things they wanted to do, and they wrote a list out to do certain things before they kicked the bucket.
And why did that movie do so well? Because people feel like they are trapped in their own lives.
Yeah.
People feel like they can't do what they want to do. And it's sad that you have to write a bucket list, because to me, that's a sad state of affairs when you're writing a drop-dead list. You should be able to do this throughout your lifetime.
Well, I mean, you're going to go sometime.
Better late than never, though.
Better late than never. But
laws of nature state, you're going to die.
But sometimes people never get to do what they want to do. Sometimes they're stuck because out of love, out of commitment, out of response. So the next thing is to have a childlike response to your life. I think having a childlike response to your life is meaningful. Like I was talking about the way of the dog, experiencing everything as the first kind, not sitting there seeing it humdrum, not seeing it played out over and over again like a really bad broken record on a really bad jukebox machine and a honky-tonk. You've actually taken part and you've actually sat there and said, okay, I am going to allow my life to be new and in new eyes, and I'm going to see it and be mindful of it. I'm going to be mindful of the time, and I'm going to realize the time that I have on planet Earth.
Well, have you ever heard the old saying that each day is a new day? I have to be honest. I've always kind of ignored that. You know, it's like, okay, whatever, you know. And, you know, of course, I have ADD anyway. And so sometimes I'm just like everything is in the background just so I can concentrate on what I need to do that day. So I don't notice a lot of things around me. And so you know, you just saying that, maybe I should, you know, actually start to paying attention, you know, make each day a new day and just take it as it comes.
Or maybe just live in the moment.
Live in the moment, which is hard for me to do. That's hard for me to do.
That's all I know.
Because, I have a hard time, you know, focusing on things.
Yeah,
although I refuse to take medication for it because it just makes me stoned.
No, I don't do that.
And I think that, you know, just trying to live each moment.
I agree. And I think also just being original and authentic. And I think that's key. And I think you can try to live in the moment. You can try to go with the flow. And for some people that have been regimented to a specific regiment and a specific structure, it could take a long time to figure out how to do this. But I think the first thing is to override that structure and allow yourself to be. And if you're just being yourself and you're allowing yourself to be yourself, you're not going outside of the marriage. You're not going outside of the children. You're just taking care of you. And I think that's most important, because when you are happy, everybody else is happy. And I think that's really important. I think that's structurally the most important thing. When you're happy, like, you know that old saying, when mom's happy, everybody's happy? When everybody's happy, everybody around them is happy. When you're upset and you're angry and you feel like you've lost years of your life, people feel the same.
Yeah, misery loves company.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, be childlike, be mindful, be honest, be original, be authentic, be you, be yourself. What a great show, Keenan.
Hey, I'm good. I'm just being my bleeping self, so.
I like that.
And I'm being my bleeping self.
I'm being my beautiful self here. And we had a great show tonight, and we can't wait till next week, because we're going to have a great show for you as well. And, you know, be mindful, be a child, be childlike, and be authentic. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.